Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're exploring the book of Zechariah and discovering the message that the King is coming. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. So glad that you joined us for the ride. Looking forward to learning more about the Word of God, but looking forward to just learning more about God. Sometimes if we're not careful, we look at the Bible as an end in and of itself, but it's not. The Bible is not an end. We are not Bible worshipers. We are looking at the Bible as a means to an end. It's the Word of God, and we want to learn more about our God through what He has said. Caleb, thanks for joining us again today.
Yeah, absolutely. I always love the opportunity just to sit down and talk about God's Word and see the truths that are still relevant to us today, and excited about what we're going to learn now.
So I said, I don't know, last episode, Caleb, maybe the episode before, that the general outline of Zechariah is he deals with the immediate issue, which is the rebuilding of the temple and getting back to that. And we find him dealing with that really in chapters 1 through 8. First six chapters, we have these eight visions. We'll get into that next episode. And then four messages that he preaches. This is kind of an introductory message, I guess. We could add this one. And then in the latter half of the book, which was written much later in Zechariah's life, so the first half, and then there was a season, and then the last half deals with the future. That's the more prophetic version, portion, I should say, of the book. And we'll get to that by and by. So today we're going to finish the introductory section. So we're in verse 6, where the Bible says, "But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways, according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us." So the context here, Caleb, as we pointed out last episode, is God is directing the attention of this contemporary group in 520 back to the experience of their parents.
Right. And so what he's saying is your fathers have had the same opportunities and the same chances that I'm giving you right now, but here's what they did. They chose not to repent. They chose to live for themselves. They chose not to make me priority. And so I dealt with them according to the way that they acted and according to what they had chosen. And you've seen what they've chosen. You've seen how it's worked out for them. And so we see this continual warning about what will happen to them if they choose to make the same choices.
And there's a subtle difference, I think, that we need to point out. And that is, in some ways, ostensibly, it appears that these people have returned. Okay, because they have returned to the land. Mm-hmm. Let's remember that the 50,000 to whom Zechariah is speaking, these are the ones that actually came back. Remember, the vast majority of the Jews chose to stay in Babylon. They chose to stay in captivity. They didn't want to have to deal with moving and the arduous work of rebuilding and the faith that was required to make that journey. So Zechariah is really speaking to the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
So there's that. So number one, they have returned to Jerusalem. And in part, they've returned to rebuilding because they did rebuild the altar and they did lay the foundation. So it's not like they've been totally lazy. Mm-hmm. And they've not gone back to idol worship. The Bible teaches that they're worshiping God. They have rebuilt their own houses, so they're establishing an infrastructure. So it just seems like, wow, the Lord's kind of hard on these people. I mean, why not send Zechariah back to the Babylonian captivity and tell all those lazy people that didn't even come back, you know, for them to get busy? Yeah. And sometimes that's what we do, Caleb. Uh-huh. We look at our lives and say, well, I'm really not following God like I should. I'm not really all in, but I'm a lot better than most people.
Yeah, right. That's true. We fall into that trap of comparison, and we place ourselves amongst other Christians and are saying, as long as I'm not as bad as that person, as long as I'm not in the bottom half, as long as I look like this. But God sees beyond that. He's concerned about the individual. He's concerned about the heart. He's concerned about your motives and your priorities. And so we can't just look at ourselves and say, well, you know, I'm not like this person. We need to say, who am I in light of Jesus Christ? Who am I in light of a holy God? And once we look inward, we realize all of our shortcomings and how far we have to come.
Yeah, the Corinthians had fallen into that sad trap, and the Apostle Paul had to remind them that those that compare themselves among themselves and measure themselves by themselves, they're not wise. And we see an example of that here. Incomplete obedience is disobedience, whether you're 25% incomplete or 75% incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And Zechariah is dealing with that. So I find the interesting part about the end of this initial message is how personal it is. Mm-hmm. And you've referenced this a couple times, Caleb, but God didn't tell them to return to the work, although they were to return to the work, but that wasn't the priority. Mm-hmm. He didn't say return to Jerusalem, return to the project, return to whatever. He said, return to me.
Mm.
And until we make our repentance relational, it's never going to be authentic.
Yeah. When we make our repentance about, I'm going to repent, I'll spend more time around the church, or I'll spend more time or resources towards the things of God, we're going to very quickly go right back to the same thing. What it is, it should be a relationship. Once we fall back in love, or we repent to God himself in a relation, then that's going to motivate those other things. And those other resources that we're giving towards God, or the things we're spending around the things of God, that's just going to be an outpour of our inward love and commitment to the person of Jesus Christ. Without that, we'll very quickly fall back into the same trap.
So I think we mentioned the last book that we covered was 2 Timothy. And remember the section, Caleb, where Paul was lamenting the fact that he was alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me.
Mm.
And Paul viewed his ministry relationships as that, relationships. It's not like Demas quit church, Demas quit the ministry, Demas, no, he left me. It was relational. And when the Lord talks about the sin of the people and implores them to come back, he says, come back to me. It's a relationship. So I find that heart here.
Yeah, and that's just so convicting to think about when we take what we've done and how we've walked away and make that relational, saying, I've turned my back not on a school of thought or not on a religion, I've turned my back on God. That makes it so much more of a heart matter. And that if that doesn't cut to the heart, I don't know what will. And so sometimes we don't understand or don't want to admit the seriousness of what we've done, and that we're turning ourselves away from a relationship and a communion with God that he openly offers to us.
Right. And we see that in other relationships as well. Sometimes it's like a husband and a wife that have a compromised marriage. It's like, okay, well, I just need to start cleaning up some more things around the house to be a better husband, or I need to be a better wife and do more of this or that. And that's a transactional way to look at a relationship. No, the heart needs to be given again. Yeah. The relationship needs to be entirely restored again. And then flowing out of the depth of that relationship, those matters of obedience will certainly come. Well, watch the personal pronouns in verse 6. My words, my statutes, did not take hold of your fathers. Let me see. They returned.
Caleb, I commanded my servants.
That's it. I can't see. I'm lifting my Bible up. If you could see this, my friends, you'd say, man, you've got trouble. I do. So yeah, thank you, Caleb, for having better eyes than I did. I do. Right. My. So the Lord takes the service that we render to him seriously. He's not concerned so much about what you can do. He knows what you can do. He's given you your energy. He's given you the power to get wealth. He's given you your gifts and abilities. He loves you. Mm. And so whether you can give him 2 mites or 2 million mites, it's not the mite that he's worried about. It's you and the motivation.
Yeah, and it just speaks so much to God. It's... we were thinking last night at church, we were concentrating on prayer, and I was praying with an individual, and we just took a moment to think about how personal God is. And that's, to me, is one of the most incredible parts about God, that he is so vast and so mighty. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. He's all these things, but at the end of the day, he's still personal. And that relationship is something that he takes personally as well. He's so invested in us that it displeases God or disappoints God when we are choosing to step away from that. And it's just the most amazing thing that God would still want that fellowship. Sometimes with other relationships in our life, we fall short and we betray that person, or we do things to that person that they don't deserve, and those relationships are gone forever, or those relationships are never the same. And God is willing to forgive and to forget and to bring us back and restore us to that relationship once again.
So verse 6, God is saying, hey, guys, think about your dads. I was mad. They didn't listen. How'd it work out for them? And then he says specifically what happened. So verse 6 is really how the fathers, how the word of God, how God uses his word in relation to the fathers. Watch what it says. Verse 6, my words, my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? That term, to take hold, didn't they finally catch up to them? The word to take hold means to overtake them. Like if I'm chasing you, like you're running from me. We used to play backyard football. Remember when you were a kid?
Oh yeah.
And if I'm running after you before you get to the end zone and tackle you, I overtook you. So what is God saying? God is saying, what I told the fathers and what I told them, did not my words take hold of them? In other words, did they not catch up with them? At first, the fathers thought, that doesn't apply to me. God says the temple's going to be destroyed. No, it will never be destroyed. You're going to go into captivity. No, that'll never happen. God gave his word, and they try to outrun it. And no, it won't happen to me. They ran. They turned their head back and said, nah, 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 nah. Okay, but what happened is my word caught up to them.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you this, my friends, God's word will catch up to you. Hmm. You're not going to outrun God's word.
Yeah, God's word is still true. And no matter how we live our lives, those things aren't going to change. And so one way or another, we'll come to grips with what God has said.
So once God's word overtook them, captured them, the Bible says, they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. In other words, when God's word captured us, when it became clear that God's word was true and God's word was powerful, we had to admit, yep, all the things that God said, it happened. All the things God said he would do, yep, we now admit it was right. We should have listened.
Yeah, and it's funny sometimes that we look at God's word or we hear things from God's word and we almost don't take it seriously, as if God has shown that what he said, you know, isn't true. I mean, we know what God has said. We know the truth of his word. We know he is serious about things. And sometimes we just treat it so tritely that it's something that is more of a guideline to me, or is more so something that, well, if I want to live by that, I will. And if I don't, and no, God takes everything seriously, and God takes his relationship with you. He loves his children. He's willing to chastise his children. And he says, hey guys, this is what I need you to do. I need you to get back to this priority of serving me, loving me, rebuilding this temple. And if you guys don't, just look at your forefathers. See what they did last time they took my word less than serious. You know, those things caught up to them. And I'm saying the same thing to you. And here's a warning that he's given from Zechariah.
So I guess my question to each one of you listeners is, are you going to continue to run away from God's word? What is it that's chasing you that you know to do that's right? An attitude you know that you're supposed to repudiate? A conviction in your life that you're running from? What did God say? God says, listen, I'm chasing you because I love you. So why don't you just stop and turn around? Because my word's going to catch up to you, and you're not going to like it when it does. And then I'm going to have to drag you back along this long way. Why not save yourself some time, stop, turn around, come back to me, and let's walk arm in arm. Let's walk hand in hand toward a great and preferable future that I have for you. That's the story of Zechariah, really, in a nutshell.
Yeah, and it's an incredible love story of God to his children, and something that still reigns true today, that even if we are living in a way that is contrary to what God has said, and we have forsaken a relationship with him and just chosen to live for ourselves, God is still there. He's still willing to forgive. He's still willing to have a relationship, and it's our choice. And we have a whole love story, a whole book of, you know, of examples and of God's word. And are we going to take it seriously? It's our choice at the end of the day.
So tomorrow, or I should say next episode, we are going to talk about the first of the 8 visions that Zechariah had on that sleepless night, the Red Horse Rider. It almost sounds like a mystery movie.
It does.
And it's better because it's true. So I want you to come back. We're going to move a little bit more quickly now as we get into these visions. Hope you'll join us. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.